Good morning. We're already standing for the scripture this morning. The gospel lesson from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23, and Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Luke. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
My name is Kamari Collier, and I'm in the eighth grade. I've been here since 2016, and since I'm 14, I can go with the high schoolers and do things that they do. Damani is a young employee here at Harvest Hands, and he's been here with us helping with sports and power sports and playing with the kids in dodgeball and many games that we play. And he's always been that person you can talk to about anything, or if you have a problem with something, you could be the person that he would love to talk to about it.
If you don't know anything about Harvest Hands, the one thing that I would really drive home is the commitment that Harvest Hands has in the community. And at this point, we have more than 10 previous students that are in the work, still working with Harvest Hands, managing employees, working directly with the students, working across the whole organization.
And always remember that no matter what goes on, that you're loved.
Matthew 15, verses 32 through 37 say this: Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." His disciples answered, "Where will we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Well, 7, they replied, "and a few small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he gave thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and then turned to the people. And they all ate till they were satisfied. So I think the question that I have today is what's next? My daughter, Brooklyn, who's here with us today, loves this question. When we eat lunch, we're having lunch, she'll say, "What's next for dinner?" This morning I saw her and she said, "Hey Dad, is it okay if we eat the perch afterwards?" And so she's good at asking the question, what's next? On Christmas, she's born on Christmas Eve, so we have presents on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and on Christmas the 26th, what is next? Now what, right? So last week everybody showed up to church and it was packed. Easter Sunday, everybody dressed up and we got together and said, "He is risen," and all the people said, "Yes, you're so good." And today, guess what? Today in the church has a special name. It's called Low Sunday. You can figure out why. Now, here's the thing. I had a California choir travel to come hear me preach today, so I'm excited for this. Are you ready? Look, we all know they're here for you. So this is the question, I believe, that the disciples are asking in this moment. You see, what's going on in the story in John is it says that they have locked themselves in the room because they are afraid. They've followed Jesus for 3.5 years, and they did not get the memo that he defeated death. So they're afraid and locked away in fear and anxiety. They don't know what's next. I mean, you saw what happened to Jesus, right? And they're guilty by association. A little side note here. Y'all know where the women are in the story, right? They're out at the tomb preaching the resurrection, and they're not afraid. And so those of you folks who would like to say that women shouldn't preach, they skipped over this part of the story, didn't they? And so the disciples are afraid and they wonder what's next. It's into this fear and anxiety, the kind of fear that would cause you to lock yourself in a room, that Jesus shows up and says, "I'm here to bring peace to your life in the Spirit of God." I want to say to you and those who would also want to be disciples of Jesus that I actually believe this is what Jesus does most of the time for us. He shows up into our life when things are not going well. That Jesus is the one who shows up in difficult times. You follow Jesus, but you lost the job. You follow Jesus and you lost the baby, or you've been praying for a kid all their life, and they still seem to have lost their way. And you feel helpless. And maybe a young adult, teenager, you didn't get invited to the party or didn't make the play or you didn't get into the school you want to, and people are talking trash about you online. You follow Jesus, but you still have anxiety, don't you? And it's into these places, to these broken places, that Jesus shows up and says, "I'm here to give you peace." Now, some people, I've heard preachers say before that if you just believe in God, it'll be all blessings. Now, I heard a preacher once say that if the praises go up, the blessings come down. But what we know, if you follow Jesus in your life, is that it's hard. These guys followed Jesus for 3.5 years, and they're locked away in a room afraid. It's hard to follow Jesus in a world that's filled with anxiety and deceit and deception and violence. It's hard. And so God shows up here, shows up into these places and says, "I'm with you." One of my favorite musicians of all time was a guy named Rich Mullins. He wrote a song called "Awesome God." You may know that song from back in the day. He also wrote a song called, let me tell you the name of this song. It's called "Bound to Come Some Trouble." And the words of the song, "Bound to Come Some Trouble," basically go like this. This is the first verse. And James Wells is actually going to sing it for us today. It says, "It's bound to come some trouble in my life, but that ain't nothing to be afraid of. There's bound to come some trouble in my life, but that ain't no reason to fear. There's bound to come some trouble in your life, but reach out to Jesus and hold on tight. He's been there before, and he knows what it's like, and you'll find him there." And so today, if you're asking the question, what's next in your life, I would say to you the answer is, it depends. If you are at a place of anxiety and fear in your life, I want to encourage you to know that Jesus shows up when you're at the places in your life where you'd rather lock yourself in your room than be out in the world. And I would encourage you to let Jesus come in, the Spirit of God come into your life and bring you peace. Now, I know some of you are like, I thought you were here to talk about Harvest Hands and compassion. But this is what I tell you, is I believe for us to really be effective, compassionate people in this world, we must let God first come into our lives and bring healing and peace to us first. If you really are going to make a significant difference, Henry Nouwen, the author, said that if you want to make a difference, you need to be a wounded healer, someone who lets God come in and use the brokenness to heal others. And this is the compassion that I would call you to in this life. It's interesting in this story that almost immediately after the disciples are told you to have peace and that the Spirit will be with you, guess what Jesus does? He's not like, oh, let's hang out. He's like, now you need to go out. It's in the same story. You need to leave. You need to go and forgive people. You need to go and be compassionate people to the world. And the way that I have shown you compassion, you need to do the same to others. This is what Jesus does. He sends them out to be compassionate disciples. When we started Harvest Hands, my wife Courtney, who's co-founder of Harvest Hands, when we started it, it was pretty much with the idea that we were going to start a ministry that is compassionate to a neighborhood in South Nashville. A neighborhood that had a lot of needs, a lot of assets as well, but we said we're going to do holistic ministry there. And so some of you have been involved with us since we started 17 years ago, at running after-school programs, helping with sports leagues, buying our coffee and soap. And so you all have been a part of this compassionate love that we've tried to offer our community. The word compassion is an interesting word. And if you Google it, which I know you might, in the Greek, the word compassion is a funny word pronounced splachnizomai. Okay, say it with me, splachnizomai. This word splach means the guts. So to have compassion, it means to feel something so deeply you feel it in your gut. Have you ever had this before? Where you just moved in your soul? Now, the other interesting thing about this word splachnizomai is it only occurs 12 times in the entire Bible, and every time it's used in relation to Jesus. And it also, the other interesting thing to me is that every time Jesus experiences splachnizomai, he takes action. So it's not just this feeling where you see something and you're like, oh, it's sad. It's the kind of compassion where you see it and you respond with action. And so this is the word when you read in Matthew about Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's in several different gospels, right? But it says Jesus had compassion on the people. And he didn't just be like, peace out. He's like, so we fed them. So he fed them. And this is the kind of compassion that I believe that we are called to as disciples of Jesus. People who respond to the things we feel with actions. When Bishop Spain, who used to be the pastor of this church, passed away in 2022, I was honored because he picked Harvest Hands as one of the two places to leave his memorials to. What a kind gesture. I was really moved by this. And I think that his example to me about being a compassionate person has really meant a lot. I want to share with you a little bit about what I've learned about compassion, not only from him, but from the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. In the story of Jesus with the 5,000, there's something that happens that I think is significant for those of us who would be compassionate people. Jesus takes these couple loaves and fish, and he multiplies them to do amazing things, right? And I want to say to you that in your life, if you desire to be a compassionate person, you don't have to have everything. You just have to have a couple loaves and fish. You just have to let God use whatever it is you have, and God will do great things with it. At Harvest Hands, I've seen this time and time again through the years. When we first started Harvest Hands, we started out of a little house that was moved into our neighborhood from Green Hills because somebody didn't want the house anymore. And we started it with like 12 kids. And now today, we have over 100 students in two locations and three coffee shops where students are being employed and given empowerment opportunities every day. We bought a lot across the road from that house. It used to be the lot where a former drug house was. And we held on to it for 10 years. And in 10 years, we had to move neighborhoods because it redeveloped, and we moved. And the value of that lot had gone up 10 times in 10 years. And it paid for our community center and the renovation. You want to talk about Jesus multiplying some fish? And then we were given this building, the old Humphrey Street Methodist Church closed in 2008. And the district superintendent said to me, "Hey, Brian, we're going to give you the old Humphrey Street building because nothing's ever going to happen here." And he gave it to us. And out of there, we started roasting coffee and making soap every day. And since then, we've employed hundreds of students. And in that shop today is now the first Humphrey Street coffee shop that we opened. And it's grown way beyond I could ever imagine. I mean, God has multiplied these loaves and fish. And in fact, last week, someone sent me a picture of Lin-Manuel Miranda drinking coffee in that shop. That's the Alexander Hamilton, y'all. And then this hotel reaches out and says, "We want to take your coffee all throughout the Southeast at a place called the Graduate Hotel." And so every time if you go stay there, you see Humphrey Street Coffee, you'll be like, every time we drink this, we're making a difference for these kids at Harvest Hands. God took these things and multiplied them. And God is in the business of taking what we have and multiplying it for good. And so when Bishop Spain gave us the fish from the memorial, I thought of a friend of mine named Antonio. Antonio was a kid that I loved at Harvest Hands. He was one of the first kids who ever came through, Antonio Duncan. Tony and I connected. If you ever saw a picture of us together, we were the two making the goofy faces. We had kindred spirits. In 2009, we were invited here to do a benefit concert with Jody Messina. So Jody came to Harvest Hands, and she decided she was going to teach our kids a song called Keep the Faith. So the kids are practicing, and all of a sudden I see all the kids laughing in there, and they're pointing at Tony. And this kid named Rodney, who told on everybody all the time — I liked Rodney, but he told on everybody — and he said, "Mr. Brian, Antonio isn't saying keep the faith. He's saying kick the face." I said, "What? Kick the face?" And I said, "Come on, you know, Tony, we can't say this, you know." So I went and talked to him, and I went back, and he was doing fine. But guess what? Now all the other kids were saying, "Kick the face." And so they all left, and Jody left, and me and Courtney and the rest of the folks just kind of laughed. What do you do? So the night came, and we sang the song with Jody, and it went great. I was so proud of the kids. And afterwards, Tony comes up to me and says, "Mr. Brian, you'd be so proud of me. I didn't say kick the face once." And I said, "Tony, you would be proud of me. I said it 5 times. I mean, it was catchy. And so his brother Antoine, who is the reason why Tony was at Harvest Hands, he made sure his brother was always taken care of. He was a good older brother. He called me this fall in tears and said, "Antonio has passed away." That was heartbroken, you know? And he said, "Man, it's just tough." And Tony had been through a lot. He was with us, and then later in his teenage years, he experienced a lot of trauma. He got in some trouble. Tony had seen an uncle shot, and one day he and Antoine showed up at my house with Courtney and I, and asked if he could go for a walk because their mom just got arrested for selling drugs. And so when I got the call that Tony had passed, I said, "Hey, Antoine, if we can do anything, let me know." Now, that's the worst thing you can say as a pastor. I know, because most times people don't tell you anything. But he said, "You can do something. We're having a hard time paying for the funeral." He said, "So if you could help with that, it'd be great." And so I said, "We'll do what we can." So I reached out to some friends, and we raised some money, but we came up short. And then I reached out to my friend Davis Chappell and said, "Davis, you think the church might be able to help with Antonio's funeral?" And I believe that he had what we call splenectomy. He was moved in the gut, and he said, "We'll cover the rest of it with action, because the church is with people in life and in death." It meant a lot to me. And I said, you know what? We're going to do it. Too many kids at Harvest Hand experience trauma. And they go through way too many adverse childhood experiences. What we need to do is we need to take the fish from Bishop Spain's memorial and start a counseling center dedicated to helping kids with trauma. So we're starting the Bishop Spain Counseling Center to celebrate kids like Tony, but also to help kids who struggled like Tony to find healing from trauma in their lives. You all have been on a long journey with this at Harvest Hand, 17 years. And today, I'm asking you, what's next, right? What's next in your life? And if you're at a place where you're struggling and you're feeling anxious and fearful, I would ask you to find peace with God. But if you want to know how you can get involved with us, I tell you, today, the communion offering is dedicated to Harvest Hands. And we have students, and we have a table out back with our products, and you can buy that. And if you want to get involved with us as a volunteer, you can sign up back there. But there are opportunities for you to live out that compassion that you feel in your own city here in Nashville. I want to invite you to ask that question, what's next? I want you to consider joining us. May you be the kind of people where Jesus comes to your life, and you feel the peace, you feel moved to go out and offer compassion to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.